Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. Another beautiful morning. So, well, it was calm when I came over. I'm not sure what's happened since, but still a beautiful morning. The sun is shining. So welcome to all of you here today. Some announcements I need to go over is before we go on with our worship service, I want to mention this flower arrangement right here to my left. This is given in memory of Clifford Pressler, by his family. Clifford, it would have been 10 years ago yesterday when he went home to heaven. So hardly seems like 10 years, but it has been. So thanks, Steve and the family, for sharing that. It's a beautiful arrangement in his memory. Some other announcements. We do have communion today. We have open communion. If you're visiting with us here, you're welcome to partake. As you see, the tables are set down here still. We'll can do it as we did in June and in August. When the time comes, the congregation will be ushered forward to partake of the elements, the bread and then the wine or the juice. So And then there's trash cans at the end of each table to put the plastic cups in. And then you can go back to your seats from there. Okay? So I'll explain that again when we come to it as a reminder. Lots of things going on. We have Mission Fest coming the end of this month. You see that on the Saturday night before. We have a men's gathering. And Ray DeLaurier, Reverend Ray DeLaurier, who will be our Mission Fest speaker, he will be the speaker at the men's event. So we need you guys to sign up for that if you are able to come. And I hope we have a good turnout for that event. We're going to send some letters over to Scotland and Tripp and Parkston and those neighboring churches as well to invite them. There's two boxes out in the social hall. We're starting the food drive as we do this time every year. The high school youth group doing a food drive for the Bethany Food Pantry over in Freeman. So that will be there until the last Sunday of this month. As well, if you would look at when you have time in the insert, there's a red tub. The red tub is a senior project that Brady Fergan is doing for families that are adopting little ones. And there's a list of items on that red tub. What his project is about is putting together care packages for families that are adopting little ones, just as a blessing to them. You know, I think most of you know Chris and Chrissy, that's his parents, that they've adopted two little ones in recent years. There is a letter out on the information cabinet that Brady typed up about his story, the story of their family. It's very interesting. If you have time, please read that. As well, the Operation Christmas Child, it is time to think about that. Because if you participate in that, this is through Billy Graham Ministries, Samaritan Purse. There are boxes and information against the west wall. But those boxes have to be done and filled and back here by November 1st. And another comment.
If you go to the website, you can actually donate online. If you're hesitant to go out in public, and you don't want to go out in public, but would love to participate, they do have an opportunity to go online, and you can actually select items that you would like to have put.
Okay, good. Patsy sort of coordinates this for us. So if you didn't hear that, you can go to their website and you can actually fill a box online. They have the items on there. You can select what you'd like to go into that child's box. So that is a new option this year, I believe. But those have to be back here by November 1st. So let's see. The other thing, the soup kitchen. Where are you at, Shirley? Thought I saw you. There you are. So, soup kitchen coming up first Saturday of December, hopefully. We do have one. We were looking for two to help coordinate this. So, Sherry Pressler has agreed to. She needs a helper. So, somebody that would be willing to help Sherry coordinate that. Either talk to Sherry and or Shirley Mettler, or one of the other women of the church, I guess. Ann Schultz. Okay. All right, there's lots of other, the one thing not in the bulletin yet that I need to say. So Jimmy and Christina Whale, Jimmy is Johnny's twin brother. Jimmy has brain cancer, and it's been getting more difficult for him all along to even get out of the house. They were saying recently how much they are missing church. So Johnny and Lori had an idea, sort of involved a dream that Lori actually had. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, if you would like to, we're going to gather, this is announced in other churches too, outside their home on the south and east side of it. And we're going to sing some choruses there, and he'll hopefully be out on the porch. They will be to listen. So if you'd like to join us, you're certainly welcome, 4 o'clock, Jimmy and Christina Whale's home today, just to bring a worship service to them. Neat, huh? Neat idea. Yes. So lots of other announcements to read. Please do that later as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne as always, with our hearts filled with joy and excitement and praises unto your name. Lord, as we've just sung that last chorus, Jesus, hope of the nations, you are light in this dark world. You are the source of heaven's hope upon this earth. And we know that. And we want everyone to know it. Because we've experienced the joy of living for you and with you and having you live in us by the power of your Spirit. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And your word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, Father, help us to be a life-saving station as this local church to the community and region all around us, that you would shine brightly from this place and shine brightly through all of our lives as we go from this place. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit of God this day, we pray, and we worship and honor and magnify you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Number 324, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's stand together as we sing this. Such beautiful words and beautiful singing. I love that last verse. You think of that. Wow. Before you're seated, if you want to give an air high five or however you do it, whatever you're comfortable with, okay? We'll just say it that way. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns this morning, and special thanks to Cindy Heckenleibel playing today. She is coming nearer on her due date. 6 weeks left. Yes, so we're praying for her, and thank you for playing today. Beautiful. So I have several things here in the prayer concerns. Jerry Nuss, if you're on the prayer chain, you know this. He had a bad fall. It was Thursday, late afternoon, towards evening, out at the farm off a ladder, something to do with the tarp on a grain cart, and I think the wind got a hold of it. bad fall, 4 broken ribs, broke his collarbone. He had surgery yesterday morning to put a plate and screws there to put the collarbone back together. I talked to him last night. I told him he was joining the club of this one right here. And he asked if she was the chairman of that club. I said, well, she is, but you sure could be. No, I don't want that, he said. So he still has his sense of humor. But be praying for him and Joanne and the family. That's, as Johnny well knows, a very sore subject, right? But God is our healer. Also, David Wallach, I talked to him yesterday. He just wants to express thanks for the prayers and cards from the church that have come. They're at this point saying they're not going to do anything else with his cancer until December, but they don't want him out and about at all. So that's been difficult, as those that have had to quarantine know how difficult it is. We had a special award here with our son Nathan this last Monday, and if you're on Facebook, you probably saw it, but he got what is called a Pat Smith Award, the Outstanding Employee of the Year by the Yankton National Disability Employment Committee. That's a mouthful, isn't it? So, yeah, God bless you, Nathan. It was a very special day, and it was awarded at Walmart, and we got to be there. And I have to, you know, used to be, maybe not so much, but some years back, you would, a lot of bashing towards Walmart for various reasons, but they have been amazing to him for the last 15 years. So praise the Lord for that. Also, prayers continued for Terry Seiler. Terry had a very difficult day yesterday that ended up with a trip to emergency in Yankton, but they were able to come home. I think, Fred is here. They were able to come home late last night, and she probably had a good night. Good. All right. She had chemo this last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so that presents issues there. So keep praying for Fred and Terry through all of this, please. I mentioned Jimmy Whale. If you want to come, remember, 4 o'clock, that's today. So that's what I had. Anything else? I'll start over here. Ron. Zoe Schaefer's birthday tomorrow. This is number
1 year away from being a teenager.
Oh my. Number 12. Wow, Zoe. Happy birthday. Oh, she's embarrassed. Okay, yes, Pat. Oh. Okay, sorry to hear that. Lee Palmerville took a tumble this morning as they were getting ready to come to church and scraped his knee and elbow? Oh, skin off the arm, okay. So, all right, we're sure praying for you always with the situation. Okay, anybody else over here? Okay, over here. Greg? Jackson. Aria turned 4 yesterday. Happy birthday, Aria. Happy birthday, Aria. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please, then. Heavenly Father, thank you. As always, I say thank you for the privilege of coming before your throne. With our joys, joys of birthdays, joys of awards, as was mentioned for Nathan, joys of family, Lord, so many things that we praise you for. But also, Lord, we come before your throne to request mercy and grace to help in these times of need. So certainly for Jerry Nuss, Lord, and the broken ribs, the broken collarbone, we thank you that it wasn't worse. It could have been very much worse. And we thank you by faith for the healing that has already begun throughout his being, mending those ribs, mending the collarbone and the bruising throughout the body from such a fall, jarring it. And thank you for just healing through the internal organs as well. Be with him and Joanne, we pray, during this time. Lord, thank you for Dave Wallach as he waits for things to happen. Just to be with him and Peg as they're trying to sit tight and the challenges that that presents. We pray for Terry and Fred Seiler. Thank you, Lord, that help was found through yesterday evening to get things right in her body and settle things down and for them to come back home. But we just continue to pray for her and many others, Jimmy Whale and Terry Auk, David Wallach, Lord, as they go through these treatments of chemo and radiation. Give them strength. Be with their caregivers. Thank you for Lee and Pat Palmerville. And Lord, we're sorry to hear of the fall this morning that Lee took. We pray that nothing else was hurt or damaged. Thank you for his wife Pat and for sister-in-law as well being here, helping with his care. What a blessing that is. Thank you for watching over them. Lord, as we're in the midst of our harvest, we do pray for safety and protection in all that happens, Lord Jesus. For all the helpers, the long hours, everything involved, keep them safe. Help the equipment to work, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of the harvest this year. Thank you for the little moisture that we got on Friday night to settle things down for maybe a day, I don't know, but we just trust you for right amounts of moisture as we go further into the fall. Lord, we want to always pray for our troops here at home, across the world. We have some who are in Africa serving now from the National Guard, Troy Heckenleibel and others, Derek Fisher. Lord, you know them all by name, and we pray over them, thanking you and asking you to give your angels charge over them. We do want to continue to pray for our healthcare workers and our first responders, the EMTs, the firefighters, the ambulance crews, Lord, all these on the front lines. Bless them, watch over them, give them strength and keep them safe. As we pray for our nation every day, Lord, we pray asking for repentance across this land, asking for revival, asking for hearts to be turned towards you. Lord, as we're in the midst of the pandemic yet, and we pray for our president and his wife as they're recovering in that process of it too. Thank you for watching over them and renewing their strength, as well as all the others around the country who are in that same position, especially those who have to be hospitalized. Thank you for finding a treatment, helping us to find a treatment, Lord, in this. Father, one more request, unspoken, of someone that just about cut a couple fingers off here yesterday, and I just pray for healing there to that individual. Thank you for all of these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read from Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. I would say before we receive the offering, but you know we have the offering box in back, so whenever you put yours in, that's fine. But this is when Jesus was sending out the 12 disciples, anointing them, and this is what he told them. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, for freely you have received, freely give. And certainly we have received incredible blessings very freely, so we give to the Lord. We'll stand and sing the doxology, please, at this time. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, the lovely heavenly hosts. Praise Father.
We bring our gifts, our offerings, our tithes into your storehouse. We say thank you, for freely we have received. We have received, number one, our salvation, most incredible of all. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus, our indescribable gift. Thank you for health and life and strength. Thank you for family. Thank you for the communities in which we live. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful sanctuary where we can gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth. So as we give, we ask you, Lord, to multiply this for the work of your kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess together now our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, is that it? Okay.
Good morning. Go ahead, let's go sit down. Hi. Just sit down wherever you want to, okay? Come on up. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. Are you sleeping?
No.
Come on, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh boy, I think they're still sleeping. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'm glad you're not sleeping. I'm glad to see you all here. I just brought a few things with me today. What is this?
A life jacket,
right? And who wears a life jacket?
People.
What kind of people? People who go swimming. What else?
People that go boating.
Anything else? Jet skiing? Canoeing?
Tubing?
Kayaking?
Cruising?
Oh, I like that one. Cruising.
Skiing.
All kinds of things, right?
Surfboarding.
Yes, all of these fun things. We wear this. So why do we wear this when we do all of those things?
So we don't drown.
Do you have something else, Allody? So you are safe. Exactly. Do you know what? I read a story just the other day that talked about some kids and their dads went on a boating trip. And before they got on the boat, everybody put on their life jacket, the kids and all the dads, except for one dad. He did not put on his life jacket because he said, "I can take care of myself. I am a strong swimmer. Nothing will happen to me." Well, they went out there, and guess what? A storm came up, and it was so bad that the boat turned over. The boat flipped, and everybody was in the water. And do you know what happened to that man that didn't wear his life jacket? He drowned. Yes, because he didn't have this life jacket on to save him. All the other ones made it safe, but he thought he could do it by himself. What's this? This is the cross. Whose cross does this remind us of? Jesus. And what you're going to see today when we have communion, when your parents do, we're going to be listening and hearing of what Jesus did for us. Do you know what? Some people look at this and look at Jesus and they say, you know what? I can get to heaven on my own. I don't need his help. Is that true?
No.
That is not true. Jesus is the only way to heaven. In fact, what's that Bible verse that lots of you know? John 3:16. Let's say it. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have ever eternal life. Sorry, there's different verses. So where is eternal life? Heaven. So how do we get to heaven? Through Jesus. We accept him as our Savior. Then we get to go to heaven. All right? So you remember that. We can't save ourselves. Just like that man, he didn't save himself. We have to go through Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we don't have to get to heaven on our own, because we would all mess up. We wouldn't make it. But we get there only through you as being our Lord and Savior, for dying for us, for paying the price for us. Thank you for all these boys and girls here, Lord. Help them to understand how much you love them. Help them to go out into wherever they go this week, to preschool, to school, at home, wherever they go, help them to share your love and tell others that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That wasn't very strong. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
There you go. Okay, you can get your papers.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 333 while the children are going back to their seats. We'll just sing the first three verses. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Father, we say thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed, for the love that you pour out upon us and within us each and every day, that it was all written according to the scriptures, all done according to what was written in the scriptures and how you ordained it to be from eternity past. Truly an amazing plan of redemption, and we say thank you. And we say thank you for your word as we look into it this morning. Thank you that we can stand upon your word. And I ask, Father, that you would speak through me to those gathered here this morning. Speak through me by your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to read. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And then he goes on into dealing with the resurrection and all that. Amen. I want to just pray quick once for Lee Palmerville. That must have been a call why they had to leave. So, Father, we just lift up Lee and Pat and Jackie. Lord, whatever's going on there, you know. We pray for his well-being. Give them wisdom, Lord, on the situation that they're dealing with. We pray for his protection, safety, healing, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. The theme that we started on last Sunday was just simply stand firm. Those two words, stand firm, a phrase that's repeated many times throughout the New Testament, even in the Old Testament. And so we looked at, just real quick last week, I'm not going to go into too much of it, but number one, we said, who or what is our foundation then? It's got to be something or someone solid. And of course, we saw God's Word, number one, is our foundation. We looked at verses, Psalms 119. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. There's the phrase. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. There is the phrase that we see. Without a solid foundation, we just get worn out in life because we cannot stand in our own strength against the attacks of the enemy, against the troubles and cares of this world. Cannot do it. A person might think, well, I can do it. About like the gentleman that Ann shared with the kids. No. Jesus, secondly, is the rock. We talked about that. So third point, that's where we're going to go into today, of God's admonition. You know what admonition means? Admonition means to warn or to remind, either of those things. So God's admonition to the church is to stand firm. Very simple. We would think, and so there's four parts we're going to look at. Just one of those today, letter A, is to stand firm against false teaching. Letter B, we'll look into it a couple weeks, against Satan. C would be to stand firm. He gives us that word as an encouragement. Fourth, he gives us the admonition to stand firm as we await the second coming of Christ. In all of those situations, he says, stand firm to us as his children. So letter A, against false teaching. Verse 1 and 2 again. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Now brothers, believers, in other words, I want to remind you. What did I say an admonition was? To remind, right? I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. That means they believed it, they accepted it by faith. That means they came to trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, which you received, and this part, look, and on which you have taken your stand. There it is, right there. On what? What were they taking their stand on? On the gospel. The gospel is his word that he preached to them. You have taken your stand. It says, by this gospel, the word of God, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word, there it is again, I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed this in vain. Now, one of the problems of the church at Corinth, and there were several things that Paul had to write to them about. Corinth was a very pagan city, a lot of idolatry in that city, and not much of a Jewish population. So when the gospel came to that city and people were getting saved, they, as you would expect, were bringing a lot of this stuff into the church from what they knew from false gods and idol worship. And Paul was having to deal with it. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, what? He had to deal with how they were taking communion. They were doing it shamefully. He's like, what are you doing? Some of you, you come to the Lord's Supper and you're getting drunk. Obviously, they had a more of a bigger cup than what we have, right? But, and that's a whole nother deal there. And so now in chapter 15, the entire chapter, he's dealing with them, 58 verses, of this false teaching that had come in somehow to that church about the resurrection. They were saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. If I would have gone on reading further, which you can read the whole chapter later as you have time, verse 12, it says this. He's saying, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? People are working their way in the church saying that. My goodness, I certainly don't think we have anybody in our congregation that denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead or our own eventually bodily resurrection when that time comes. Verse 14, he says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is useless and so is your faith. And so it would be. If that is all a fake, all a lie, then what are we doing here? Well, we know it's true, don't we? And that's why we are here. How many times in the New Testament, I couldn't begin to count them all. I could if I had time. But look, if you read through the Gospels, maybe just take notice how many times Jesus warned against false prophets, false teaching. Matthew 7, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Matthew 24, he says, false Christs and false prophets will appear, perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Then we come down to the epistles. Paul, Acts 20, he's telling the elders at the church in Ephesus, I know that after I leave, savage wolves are going to come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. What were they coming in with? False teaching. Romans 16, he says it again in a different way. Timothy, 2 Peter, 1 John, and many more times, beware of false teaching. Now, you always hear, I don't know if this is still true today, should have asked one of our bank tellers here, that when they're trying to discern of counterfeit bills, of course now mainly, well, you got that special marker that you go, I'm looking because she's up in the balcony. You got that special marker, like if it's a 50 or a, oh, Greg's right here, or a 100, they swipe over it or something, right? But what I was always told is they don't really study the counterfeit bills, they study the real thing used to be. Same way, you study the real thing, and then when a counterfeit shows up, you're like, whoop, nope, something looks different. What's that saying to us? You study the real thing. Right here, God's word, study, study. Then when something goofy comes along, you're like, I don't know about that. You don't just take it, oh, really? Well, I didn't know Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, really? So we got to stand on solid foundation. I was thinking about that, and it used to be before COVID, we'd take our kids to Air Madness up in Harrisburg there, and one of the things they have is this beam. It's not real wide, I don't know, maybe like that wide, but long, I suppose 10 feet long, at least 6 feet off the floor, and then all around it is this big pit of foam cubes and whatever in there. So they get two kids up on there, or adults. I did not try it, nor would I let my wife try it. And they give them this big, long tube that's foamy, and so you're facing off, and you are trying to stand firm on this beam and to knock that other one off, and he's trying to knock you off. And whoever's got their footing the best on that beam, you know, you might go like that, or, you know, the one who's got the best footing stance is going to stand firm, and the other one's going to go down into that soft pit, right? Lots of the kids have done that up there. It's fun to watch. I wouldn't want to do it either myself. So he's saying, back to verse 1 and 2, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. He's telling, remember, you received all of this by faith. I told you about the resurrection. You said you believed it, and on which you have taken your stand. So he's going to show them again. How do you stand firm as we go into these verses? Letter A. That Christ died for our sins according to the what? It's verse 3. Scriptures, right? Verse 3 says that, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Now, where do you hear that phrase? For what I received, I passed on to you. We're going to hear it today when we come to the Lord's Supper, right? The Apostle Paul says, for that I received, and so on it goes, right, into the Lord's Supper. I passed on to you as of first importance that what? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I think probably most would think when he says according to the Scriptures, and until, you know, years back, whenever that would have been, I probably would have first thought, well, he's talking about the Scriptures of the New Testament. Because that's where Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we see the life of Christ, right? But you know what? When 1 Corinthians was written, which was about 20 years after the resurrection of Christ, guess what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John had not yet been written. It had all happened, but those books had not yet been written. They would come about 5 to 10 years later than 1 Corinthians. So when he is saying, according to the Scriptures, he's going back to the Old Testament. That they had. Isn't that interesting? So that then what do you think about then? One example would be in Luke chapter 24, on Resurrection Day, the afternoon of, and there's these two disciples, not two of the 12, but two of the disciples, they're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a 7-mile walk. They are downcast, they're sad, they don't understand why Jesus had to die. They've heard somewhere that he was risen, but they just are not believing that. You know the account, it's so cool. So they're walking along, just down. And all of a sudden, Jesus in his resurrected body comes up beside them. They don't know it's him. Why are you guys so sad and downcast? And they're like, are you a stranger to Jerusalem that you don't know what has happened there these last days? And they tell him, and Jesus is just, you know how sometimes you know something, but maybe you're not able to say it? If it's a bit of good news or something, and you're supposed to act surprised when somebody tells you about it? I always sort of think of that in that way. Jesus is just, I'm sure, oh, you know, I'm here, but I'm not telling you yet. And so they're going along on that whole 7-mile journey. And the verse I love, and it fits into here, it says, verse 26, 27 of Luke 24, did not the Christ have to suffer all these things and then enter his glory? And listen to this. And beginning with Moses, that is the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's what God inspired Moses to write. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's all the rest of the Old Testament, he, Jesus, explained to them, those two guys, what was said in all the Scriptures, that's all the Old Testament, concerning himself. That is a verse, boy, you stand on. If someone ever challenges you, oh, how do you know the Old Testament is true? How do you know it's accurate, inspired? Right there. Right there. Jesus validates it. Right there. It is true. He explained all that was said in the scriptures about himself. Everything. So, where? Where is that? Look at Psalms 22, would be one chapter to go through. First verse of Psalm 22, 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said it on the cross, didn't he? Yeah, go down to verse 7 and 8. All who see me, this is about the cross, we're talking about that. Let me go back to verse 3 here at 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Okay. 7 and 8. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. Listen, he trusts in the Lord God. Let the Lord rescue him. Exactly what those guys said to him as he was hanging there on that cross. Exactly. 1,000 years earlier in Psalms, that was prophesied. Verse 16, listen to this part, still in Psalm 22. They have pierced my hands and my feet. 1,000 years before it ever happened. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Exactly how it happened, according to the scriptures. If you go to Isaiah 53, it's full of it too, prophesying ahead. Okay, letter B then, which comes to verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. There it is again. Just right, our theme is stand firm. Paul's saying to the church at Corinth, these things I've preached to you and taught you from the gospel on which you received, on which you have taken your stand. It's on his word, right? How about that? Buried, raised on the third day? Is that in the Old Testament? It is. Yes, it is. Think of the prophet Jonah. Go read that through. It's only four chapters. Jonah. Remember, he was supposed to preach to that wicked city of Nineveh? Didn't want to go, though. We just looked at this last week in the high school class. No, he got on a ship to get away from God's call to him. Gets thrown overboard. The big fish swallows him. All right. Some people say, oh, that's just a story. That is not true, Pastor Mike. Really? Well, what did Jesus say about it? Matthew 12, 39. Listen, this is part a type. What happened to Jonah in the belly of that whale is a type and shadow ahead of Jesus' burial and resurrection. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. There you got it. Jesus in the tomb. Well, what about the resurrection? Well, what'd the fish do? Right? On the shore, out comes bleached old Jonah, stinky and full of seaweed and wrapped around his head. It even talks about the seaweed in Jonah wrapped around him. The resurrection, right? The tomb could not hold Jesus either, and nor could that fish, because God had a plan for Jonah to preach to that city, that wicked city of Nineveh, and they repented. I love this verse, Acts 2:24, after the resurrection, when Peter's preaching his sermon, it says this, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Amen. Impossible. Ever say impossible.
Impossible.
I gotta do it again like with the kids. That's a little weak. You put it in there when I say, because it was
impossible
for death to keep its hold on him. Impossible. Right. So according to the scriptures, on that we take our stand. They had to then, we have to today. And then, of course, in the rest of those verses, 5 through 8 of 1 Corinthians, he goes on to the eyewitnesses, doesn't he? First he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 of the brethren at the same time. Some have said in trying to deny it, oh, it was just a hallucination. Oh, you just imagined that. Oh, really? 500 people at the same time saw him. It's recorded in Scripture. Then to James, that's his half-brother. Then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me, Paul says, as one abnormally born. This is what we preach, and this is what you believed, Paul says. It's the message of the gospel. Right? And that's why we can come to the communion table as we're going to today. Because of Jesus and all that he did. I got to go real quick to John 11 here with Lazarus. Because when Martha came to him and said, you know, he's dead. If you would have come earlier, he'd be alive and so on. And Jesus has that conversation with her. He says this to her, remember, I am, Martha, I am. To everybody here, I am the resurrection and the life. Don't worry, basically. What? He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We hear that often at funerals, don't we? Because it's so appropriate. What was the next statement of Jesus? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? He's asking every one of us that very same question today. Do you believe this? And I hope you can say a hearty amen. Yes, I do. If you don't, or if you're wondering, then you better get it figured out. Get some help. Talk to somebody. Talk to me. Not that I'm the answer man. Talk to somebody, because you have got to have that settled in your heart and in your mind. That Jesus, do you believe this? And Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. Praise the Lord. She believed. And so we come to this table with hearts of faith as we believe. Let's pray. Father, this is such a very special time. An exciting time, a holy time, a serious time when we come. And your word tells us clearly that we are to examine ourselves as we come to your table. And we do, Lord. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know us better than we know ourselves. But we thank you for your blood that was shed for our salvation. Help us always to stand firm. When things get crazy, we stand firm on you, Jesus, our solid rock. In your name we pray. Amen. We do have a prayer of confession. I did not have room to get it in the bulletin this time. I usually do, but it will be on the screen. So as far as the ones helping with communion, if you want to go to the back, you can do that, please. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne this morning, we humble ourselves before you, and we acknowledge that you are the one who holds our lives and all of our ways in your hand. We acknowledge that you are the Most High God, and that you are sovereign over all the earth. You are God. And we are not. Forgive us for not surrendering our lives completely to you. Forgive us for not obeying your word. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Fill us afresh with your Spirit today, and give us strength to live a consecrated life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for our redemption and our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd come forward, those that are helping, please. So as I said before, we're doing this because of not wanting to pass the trays and everything yet at this time. So there, when you come first, there's bread, and then there's the wine, and we also have grape juice for those visiting. The innermost ring of the trays contains the grape juice. The other two rings contain wine in those cups for whichever you prefer. So there'll be two lines coming. You can take your bread, take that, and then come and take the cup. There, it's all plastic, and then you can throw that. There's a trash can on each side. Go back to your pews unless you have to leave. If there's anybody that is not able to come because of physically or whatever, you're going to have to sort of get the attention of one of the elders and deacons up here, and they will bring it to you, okay? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we do thank you for the cross. Jesus, it is incredible to think about the price that you paid for our salvation. And we are so thankful. How can we say thanks, Lord? I think of that hymn, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a gift far too small, Lord. Nothing can pay except your blood. And we receive you by faith as we come, Lord. We think about the cross. As we come, Lord, let us just think back to that time, the price that you paid for our salvation. Let our hearts and minds and thoughts be fixed upon you through this entire time here. Let these elements be sanctified for this time and this purpose as they represent your body that was beaten and bruised so badly, as they represent your blood that you shed upon the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. For the Apostle Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Matt will usher the people. You can go ahead and we're going to, if you want to sing along, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. The first will be Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. The words are only on the screen for that one. And then we'll go into Because He Lives. So it's to help us keep our focus on him. Amen. Go ahead, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for helping. Thank you. Let me pray once more before the benediction, please. Father, thank you. Thank you seems so inadequate to say when we think about all that you have done for us. But as we say thank you, Lord, we must say it with our lives. That is the bigger part. Help us to live our lives according to your word every day of the week, with the words that come out of our mouths, with the actions that we do. Lord, let us say thank you that way, that you are Lord of all, Lord of heaven and earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Well, we'll sing God Bless America. I do think we need to stand as we sing that. This is as a prayer for our nation. Bless you. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music, and we'll be praying for you as all the other ones with little ones in the womb.